we wouldn't turn loose of that word from God. We wouldn't turn loose and we wouldn't get just, you know, say, oh, well, God, oh, God, oh, God. No, take the time. Take the time. Be still and know that He is God.
Welcome to a special Father's Day edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he shares how important it is that we honor both our heavenly and earthly Father.
I'm telling you, when things look absolutely impossible, you can go be still and just sit there and fix your mind. You may have to refix it and refix it for a while because it'll try to run all over the place with you. But just grab hold of it and say, no, you're going to think about what I tell you to think about. And you just begin to think about He is God. He is God. Ooh, He is God. And He's my Father. He is God. He is God. He is God. And while you're doing that, the longer you take to do that, and then you begin to meditate on the fact that He is right here in me now. The very God of heaven and earth and all of His kingdom is invested inside in my most innermost being. Praise God. He is in there. And the more you do that, the smaller all those problems out there begin to look. Amen. They begin to dwindle. The Bible tells you what not to think. It tells you what to think. And it tells you to take every thought into captivity. Now, every don't mean 25% of them. And let the other 75% run loose and do whatever it wants to do. No, it said every thought. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ Jesus. Or bring it and make it subject to the anointing of Jesus. Amen. You need to learn, first of all, how to fight and combat thoughts. Thoughts you can't fight thoughts with thoughts. They're on the same plane. And Satan, pain, pressure, torment. We're going to get to this in just a moment, so I'll go ahead and introduce it to you now. 1 John 4:18 said, there is no fear in love. Perfected love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. There's not fear and torment. No, fear hath torment. If there's no fear there, there's not anything to torment you with. Think about it. Like the handle on a pitcher, say. That fear is the handle that the tormentor uses. If there's no fear there, there's nothing he can get a hold of. He can just raise all the cane. He can raise, but it don't have any effect on you. You get to really even hear it. Well, if there's no fear there. Now, perfected love casteth out fear. So, anytime there's fear there, torment's there. And you may not realize that that's the reason you've been tormented, is because fear is present. Let me give you the definition of that, the word translated torment. Extreme pain, anguish, and utmost degree of misery. Being just miserable. All of that is a manifestation of torment. Now, Satan is called the tormentor. But we also find from the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, where, you remember where it said, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows? Now, do you remember what it said about being wounded for our transgressions. Remember that phrase? If you'll look that up, look it up in your concordance, or look it, if you have an index reference in your Bible, it'll have a little number. My Bible's got a little number 7 there over wounded. And you go over to the index and it says, he was tormented for our transgressions. So for there to be torment, there had to be fear. For Jesus to have any fear, it must have been his bearing your and my fear, because he didn't have any of his own. Amen. Because he had perfected love, and perfected love cast it out. But he bore our sins. Look what category that puts fear and torment. It puts it in the sin level, doesn't it? Now, what we need to realize is sin and fear is not okay. It's not okay with God, and it ought not be okay with you. Now, Gloria and I were on a trip one time, and John was at the age where he didn't think he could be happy unless he's doing Mach 2 with his hair on fire, you know, and whatever he is driving, turn it over 3 or 4 times and see what happens, and all this kind of thing. Can't ride a motorcycle except wide open, you know. I don't know where he got that, but, well, that's a lie. I do know where he got it. Gloria accused both of us of being that way. So when but he had, I mean, he had some pretty bodacious wrecks and stuff just recently, and so she and I had settled. I told you we settled about our children several years before that. As far as them going to hell, no, that ain't gonna happen. No, that is not going to happen. We went to the Word of God and settled it. So we're confessing the Word of God over him. And all of a sudden, the Word of the Lord came. And this had happened to me several days before. That knowing had dropped into my spirit. And on this day, it dropped into Gloria's spirit. The Word of the Lord came then to both of us. I mean, it was just... it was almost audible. If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have heard it, but we did. The Lord said, my tender mercy hovers over John. Now, I don't know why the Lord worded that like that. I don't care why he worded it like that. My tender mercy. I went into my concordance, looked up the scriptures that have tender mercies in them. My tender mercy hovers over John. That just settled down inside of us. And then every time the devil comes and say, I'm going to kill John, we just laugh at him. No, you're not. You'd have to get through the tender mercies of God to get to him. No, devil, you're not going to do it. No. Now, he left home. And he was, well, just to put it politely, he was just living like an alley cat, really. And he had moved out of the house, you know, and the devil just ranting and raving, and we just smiled, and now God's tender mercy hovers over John. I got a call one morning. John said, Dad, can I come over? I said, sure, come on. He said, I need to bring you my tithe. Well, there's an improvement. Praise God. I said, well, yeah, come on, boy. So he came. John's always made money. He made money from the time he's 14 years old. But this time he was a journeyman welder, and he was making considerable money, particularly for his age. He came over, had his tithe check, brought it over there to him. I took it, took his hand. We prayed together over his tithe. I said, John, I appreciate this, boy. This is a good thing. Yeah, he said, you know, Dad, the way I've been living, I just figured the dumbest thing I could do is rob God. Hey, man, that's a good move. Oh, yeah, good move. Amen. Now, where'd he get that? He was, of course, he heard it all of his life. But what stirred that up in him? The tender mercies of God. The tender mercies of God was dealing with him when we couldn't see him. He's protecting him when we couldn't see him. He's protecting our girls when we couldn't see them, when they're out of sight. They're out there, out in the world. Things are not. The only thing you've got to worry about is the last thing you knew, which might have been 4 months ago. You hadn't seen any change. You're still worrying about something that happened 4 or 5 months ago, and because that's the last thing you knew, that's the last thing you saw, and you're still sweating that. Well, God is there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Things are happening when you can't even see it. Amen. So begin to take advantage of that. His tender mercies were hanging over John. And to watch the Spirit of God move that young man from where he was right on around and right on into the fullness of the Spirit of God and in the fullness of his anointing. And today he is executive director of this ministry. Well, to watch God do that, it looked just like a cowboy out there herding a calf. And just herded him right on in where he belonged. Why? We wouldn't turn loose of that word from God. We wouldn't turn loose and we wouldn't get just, you know, say, oh, well, God, oh, God, oh, God. No, take the time. Take the time. Be still and know that he is God. Meditate on those scriptures. Amen. Did you get anything out of this today? Let's stand and give the Lord praise. Now, I'll close this today with this, and we'll take it up here my next session as the Lord wills and leads. Two things. Take the time to tithe. Tithing is not done with money. Tithing is done with words of faith. The tithe is whatever the Lord has instructed you and however what you're bringing. The tithe, of course, means tenth. You're bringing this to the Lord. It's his in the first place, and you're thanking him and praising him for it. But tithing is done through prayer, through worship, through speaking the words of faith, through going over all of the tithing scriptures, of which there are several, and go through there and make sure you act on those scriptures and you pray over that tithe and you rejoice and you go to the Lord of the tithe. The scripture says, take that tithe to the high priest that shall be in those days. Well, Jesus is the high priest of our days. Take the time and take your tithe to him. Gloria and I have a set specific time that we tithe. We tithe on that day and we bring to Jesus what is his and we set it before the high priest of these days and we worship before him there. And he is the Lord of that tithe, and that's when we find out what to do with it. How many of you have seen Joel Osteen on television recently? Now, isn't that some kind of church congregation? Huh? I'll tell you, that's something, isn't it? You want me to tell you what his daddy John did and what John taught him to do? Every once in a while, I'd get a sizable check from Osteen Ministry and from that church. And so I asked him one day, I said, John, I just called to thank you for this marvelous offering I got into the ministry today and just let you know how much I appreciate it. He said, Brother Kenneth, let me tell you what that is now. He said, I announced to my congregation on Sunday, now, as we tithe today, if you have been blessed or been taught or been fed by other ministries over the last week and so forth, and you want some of your tithe to go to them, if you will write down there what percentage you want to go to them, we'll see to it that they get it. No. No, his tithe didn't get smaller. It got bigger. Why? John Osteen had no fear of the devil being able to steal anything off of him. Why, he just laughed. Yeah, forget that. John won that fear war a number of years before that. And when he began to do that, well, see, that's the way Joel thinks. That's the way he was raised. And what Joel is enjoying today is the harvest of what his dad sowed for so many years. Of course, that's the way it's supposed to be. My children should take what they have learned from Gloria and me, and use that as a base. I'm talking about our biological children and our spiritual children. Take what you've learned, that's just your base, and then double and triple that. And then your offspring will build on that, and build on that, and build on that. That should have been happening all these years. Amen. I had the Lord say to me, he said, if you take the time to tithe, you bring me what's mine, I'll meet you there and I'll bring you what's yours. He's talking about anointings when he says that. Amen. The other one is take time to forgive. When you take time to forgive and you take time to meditate on the forgiveness of that person, and you begin to see Jesus come in and begin to love them, and you begin to see faith poured out of them. May be the worst old reprobate that's ever come across your life, called you everything in the world but nice, and has been mean to you, but you're going to love him, and you just take the time to forgive. Take the time for the love of God to flush all that stuff out of your spiritual system, and you begin to pray over them. You begin to speak the word of God over them in the name of Jesus, and all kinds of marvelous things begin to happen. That person may change, may not, probably will. But they may or they may not, but you will. I guarantee you, you will change. I guarantee you, you come out of there so strong. There you go again, man. I mean, the gorilla's up walking around. Here come your faith. Glory to God. Raise your voice to the Lord and give him praise. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
I'm Dave Novotny, and this is my wife, Judy, and we live south of Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
How did you become introduced to Kenneth Copeland Ministries? How did you form a connection with the ministry?
I got saved and started watching, and then I flipped over one day and I heard this guy screaming.
God said, that's a big name for me!
It was Kenneth Copeland, and I'm like, this guy's really, he caught my attention. And that's how I got it, was through the broadcast, and started taping the Believer's Voice of Victory, and then started getting the magazine. And he wasn't saved at the time. And I, of course, started praying. But I learned through Gloria and through Kenneth is that we call those things that be not as though they are. And so I started writing scripture of how I wanted him to be, and left him alone and shut my mouth, which is sometimes, I'm claiming, it's easy now. And so what I prayed was this. This is a prayer that I didn't know what it would cost me, but I said this. I said, God, whatever it takes for my family, for David to be saved, do it. And one day in church, we were called forth to think of someone to pray for, and I thought, okay, this will be my husband. And it wasn't, it was my dad. And I thought, I don't want to pray for my dad. My dad was an alcoholic. He was in and out of jail. He was in prison. He beat my mom. It was awful. And my dad and I knew where we stood, and we said what we said to each other. And God said, you go every Sunday and you visit him and you just love on him. And I remember the first time I walked in and sat down, couldn't stand it, was there 5 minutes and left. That turned into 6.5 years, and about halfway through, I was looking at my dad, and God, I shot through, and God, Jesus showed me. I didn't see the alcoholism. I didn't see the smoke. I saw the most beautiful blue eyes. I saw him the way Jesus saw him. And that love came out. I told him about Jesus. I told him about salvation. And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I kept on it 6.5 years. And he found out he had cancer in November. And 3 weeks later, he went to be with the Lord. But he accepted the Lord 2 weeks before he passed away.
David, what did that do to you watching what you knew was a sacrifice, and you knew how hard it was for her, watching her minister to her dad and do something like that out of obedience?
Oh, it was tough. I think this is the first time I'm going to be able to talk about it without crying. When we found out that her dad had cancer, the way I was raised is that you support your wife. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go to church with her. You know, I've got to be here for her. She spent that time with her dad, and I'm going to be here for her. And that night after he died was the very beginning of a very exciting time for me.
Was there a point that you actually asked the Lord into your heart, that you actually decided it was time for you to make that commitment?
Oh, you'll like this. We had a Christian friend that's a chiropractor. And we'd go there, and they'd always be saying, Dave, you gotta ask Jesus into your heart. Come on now. And I'm laying down on this bed, and he and Judy was both having conversations, and he'd go and thump his finger right on my back this whole time they're talking. And then finally, I'm just telling myself, I says, Lord, you come on into my heart, I'll let you in here, but you get him to stop thumping my back. I've had enough of this, you know. And it just, he just came upon me then. And I didn't have any thumping on my back since then either. So I got saved in a chiropractor's office.
He had started watching Kenneth. He started watching the tapes that I had taped. I got what I wanted when I confessed. I mean, he went through his Bible in 6 months. I haven't even read the Bible cover to cover, and he read it in 6 months. He's read it 2 or 3 times since.
Soak in God's Word at the 2007 Great Lakes Believers Convention. Join
and when he saw this coming up, he looked at me and he said, I want to go to that. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. So I made the reservations and we came to the Believers Conference. And he told me that we run so fast and so hard for so long because we don't want to turn around and face who we are, because we're scared that when we turn around and face who we are, we're going to face who we are not. And that's what I'm doing. There's something about looking in the mirror and speaking his word back to you, that you can feel his love. If I don't love myself, I can't love you. I can't love my neighbor. I can do it half-heartedly, but I'm learning that's not what he wants. Jesus was on the cross. He could have got down at any time, but he didn't, because he knew the victory. He knew the people. He knew me. He knew you. He knew Dave. He knew he was going to see us in eternity for the joy that was set before him. And I'm just starting to understand that. You know, I've come too far. 6.5 years with my dad. I'm not quitting. Praying for him longer, I'm not quitting. The only way we lose is if we quit. And I'm not going to do it.
I want to talk to you a minute about Judy obeying God, her visiting her father for 6.5 years, then he got saved, then her husband got saved. Now, it always pays to obey the Lord and trust him for the right outcome. But now listen to this. I want to bring this up because this is what she put into action. It says in Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, yeah, but my ugly old mean old daddy in prison, I don't honor that old man. It didn't say honor your father if he's a good daddy. It just said honor your father. So she did that. She obeyed God. She gave honor to her dad, whether he deserved it or not. And it was it's the first commandment with promise. God gave her promise that it will be well with you and you live long on the earth. She did that, and God moved in her behalf, not only brought her dad into the kingdom of God, but brought her husband in also. Amen. Now, go call your daddy. I just go call him, tell him you love him. Well, he probably hang up on him. Well, that's his problem. Call him back. Amen. And believe God for that scripture in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 and 3. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to give you something to help you with this. I want to give you this DVD, From Fullness to Overflow, Being Totally Committed to Walking in Love. And this is what we're talking about. And this will help you discover the key to experiencing the things of God in real success, not just a little shallow something or other. Learn how to become rooted and grounded in love, where you're just absolutely fixed and established in God. Amen. Now then, listen to me very carefully. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to come and honor your Heavenly Father. The invitation is there. If you'll confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The Scripture says, whosoever believes on Him will not be ashamed. Pray this. Pray it out loud where you can hear it with your own mouth. Oh God in heaven, my Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. And I receive you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, right quick, use the information on your screen. I want to send you these five little books to help you get started reading your Bible, a little simple brochure to tell you how to study your Bible, and I want to give you From Fullness to Overflow. Now do what you're supposed to do. Amen. I'll see you next time. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes five books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. Join me for Healing School on the Believer's Voice of Victory. It will be a time when we study God's Word, build our faith for healing in all areas of life, spirit, soul, and body. It's still God's will to heal today. Don't miss out on receiving your healing.
Be sure to mark your calendars for these special broadcasts.